Darkwraith Publishing presents the Illinois State Collegiate Compendium, Academic Lectures in Business and Economics. This is Business Finance, FIL 240, Section 2 for Autumn Semester 2013. Lecture 24, delivered on November 18, 2013. The title of this lecture is Review for Exam 2.
Today, Review for Exam 2. Exam 2 is set up exactly like Exam 1, which you found to be, I'm sure, quite fun and all that. Multiple choice is part one, 20 questions. Part two is workout problems. Part three is essay. Late tonight, I will put up a problem that you might want to make sure you have the answers to and put those answers on your note card on your that you're allowed to bring in for the exam. The problem, I'll tell you right now, will be a marginal cost of capital problem. That you can work on. And again, as usual, do it. Don't send me a message or come to my office with a couple of quick questions about it. You're on your own with it. Pretty straightforward, but remember, make sure your calculations are accurate along the way. But that'll be the workout problem that I will provide. I'll give you the narrative online. Late tonight, and for God's sake, don't start sending me email messages at 8 o'clock. I don't see that problem. It'll be late. Okay, through the meat grinder on some of the problems that you'll have. On part one, multiple choice questions. Most of those will be along the lines of, well, let me give you a specific. I'll have you do a calculate a break-even quantity. That's something that'll be part one. Then a net present value question like that quiz. Just give you a cash flow. How much is pay out at the beginning? How much comes in through a life of the project, a salvage value? And I'll ask you which of the following is the closest to the NPV of the project. And then there will be an internal rate of return problem. These are just straight up on the calculator. Just feed the numbers in and get the number out. There's nothing hard about that. I'll revisit some issues with regard to volatility, specifically because I have done a new little thing with degree of operating leverage, degree of financial leverage, degree of combined leverage. In the multiple choice, there'll probably be some question related to those that. Make sure you know the formulas for it, and also what the relationship between DOL, DFL, and DCL is, that equation I gave you. What contributes to these leverages. Make sure you know what contributes to a leverage and what does not. Obviously, variable costs don't contribute to any leverage, ever. I'll ask you something about efficient markets in multiple choice. I'll ask you sort of a couple of questions that will be related to marginal cost of capital. They won't be calculation-based so much, although one might be sort of a calculation, but they'll be along the lines of, well, the MCC graph falls and the IOS graph rises, the MCC graph falls, the IOS graph falls, which one of those is correct? Remember how you graph those in? Something like that as a multiple choice question. As far as a numerical question, I give you a capital structure, say 30% debt, 70% equity, and I'd say they can borrow at a certain rate up to $500,000. What's the first break point? That would be a multiple choice kind of question. I might ask you something about, I'll definitely revisit volatility in securities, which is riskier, what's risk, what kind of risk, which is a higher yielding bond, for example, a callable bond or a bond that is equivalent in risk except that it's convertible, something like that. I'll ask you something about the relationship between price and time to maturity of a bond. I'll probe you on the idea of things like warrants. What's the difference between a share of stock and a warrant? Or something like, can you identify, is this a share of stock? Is this a warrant? If it's a warrant, is it a detachable or non-detachable warrant? Something like that in the multiple choice. Not too hard. Ask you about relative risk of different kinds of instruments. Make sure you know, when I say a ZCB, what that means. If I say, for example, a mortgage bond, if I say a muni, I might give you a formula and say, what is this formula? Like, for example, I might give you D1 over P, that quantity, plus G. What is that? What formula is that? Just give you a formula and just say, what are we calculating with that? So make sure you know what the formulas are and what formula you use for what thing. A couple of questions about stock offerings. I might ask you something about a prospectus, something like that. Something like, what's a prospectus? What's a tombstone? I brought those up earlier. The order of cost, component cost of capital. What's the most expensive cost of capital? What's the cheapest capital? That thing. Might have you find the yield on a ZCB. Should probably put this up on the board, this test, so you can see it. Yeah. Okay, let me go to the part two. You will find the yield on a bond. I'll give you the information necessary to find the price of a bond or a quote. I'll give you the information necessary to find the yield on a bond. And specifically, you might have to find a yield to maturity. You might have to find a yield to call. It's really not that hard. It's all just keying it into your calculator. Just make sure you do your calculator right. If you find the price of a share of stock, common stock, and also the price of a share of preferred stock, remember the formulas for those. You will calculate degree of operating leverage, degree of financial leverage, and degree of combined leverage. I'll give you 2 years of net sales, fixed costs, variable costs, interest expense, taxes, and you'll find DOL, DFL, and DCL. And then I'll ask you, with respect to DCL, what is causing the leverage? What is the principal source of leverage at the combined leverage level? You will also have to find, obviously, that marginal cost of capital question. It's like the one on the worksheet. I will try not to throw any curveballs at you. It's just a matter of doing the calculations right and carefully constructing your MCC iOS graph so that you see right where what projects are and are not acceptable. Okay, now, essays. These are not all of the essays. Some of these will be on there, some of them will not. And again, don't go to Wikipedia or Infopedia for your answers. My cat, Phineas, is waiting for you. I am serious. He was asking about you this morning. He cares. Questions I could ask, what's the relationship between the time to maturity of a bond and the price of the bond? Or what is the relation, I'll let you write that. What is the relationship between the coupon, let me say that again. What is the relationship between the spread between coupon and yield and price of a bond? Again, what is the relationship between the spread of coupon, between coupon and yield and the price of a bond? If the cost of debt is cheaper than the cost of capital, of equity, why do companies issue common stock? If the cost of debt is cheaper than the cost of equity, why do companies issue common stock? Which would obviously be more expensive. What two factors make debt cheaper than equity for a corporation? Again, what two factors make debt cheaper than equity for a corporation? Explain the efficient market hypothesis. explain the efficient market hypothesis. Why is externally generated equity costlier than internally generated equity? Again, why is externally generated equity cheaper, more expensive than internally generated equity? Give you one more just to chew on. I think of what I wanted. What does it mean for a bond to be called junk? What is a junk, in other words, what is a junk bond? Now, don't get too technical with that one, okay? On me. Seriously, noobs. You could get into some serious water on that. Could you tell me what makes a, I won't tell you whether you're right or not. Can you tell me, though, what would make a bond junk? What does it mean for a bond, for if I say that's a junk bond? In a nutshell, can you tell me? Don't look over here. Well, there you go. Woman? Okay, give you the start of an answer. A junk bond is a bond that is not of investment grade and represents substantial risk of default. You know what? If I actually ask that question and you give me that answer, you'll get a perfect score for it. If you try to get fancy, I'll probably bake your ass. Okay? Don't be fancy on these questions. Remember what I said. You need a straightforward answer. One sentence. I didn't tell you this for the first test, but I will tell you this now. And people can attest to it. I have a bullshit stamp. I didn't use it the first test. I will use it this test. You will answer without bullshit, or I will use my stamp. I just got it re-inked. So give me a straight-up answer for every one. One sentence. That's all. Go. Anyone? Did anyone write it down?
Just go listen to it again.
Oh, yeah. Okay, that's right. I podcast these lectures. Okay, just in a nutshell. A junk bond is a bond that is not of investment grade and carries a substantial risk of default. That's enough. In other words, you probably wouldn't want to invest in one of those kinds of puppies.
So why would you?
Why would you? There's the next question. It's something that I do want to bring up in this happy lecture we are having here, is that for the average investor, this would be an essay question. What would be the most significant downside to investing in a well-diversified portfolio of stocks, one at a time? and what is the alternative? And once you write this down, I'm going to give it to you in a little bit more straightforward fashion, a little bit sharper, more pointed. What are the advantages and disadvantages to mutual funds and ETFs? And I can almost be sure that I'll ask you something like that on the test. But now, let's get down to that question. Why would anyone invest in a junk bond? Well, clearly, not a lot of people do, because that's why their prices are so low. But here's the deal. First of all, there are people, institutions, investors who actually want extreme risk. That's their job. They absorb risk so you don't have to. That's what an insurance company does. It'll take your risk off your back for a fee. And there are companies out there, individuals, investors, and investment groups, entities of all kinds, they are in the business of just rolling the dice hard. Have you ever been to a casino?
No.
I could see you at a casino.
You should go.
You really? Seriously. And you know what? If you go, 21 would be your game, I'm almost sure. And you would lose your shirt, probably your pants, and a couple of your socks. Okay? But that's okay. If you're the kind of person who just wants to do that, you're willing to take a chance, a small chance, for a big win. Because if a junk bond is coming off, let's say it's junk, it's 3 years to maturity, it's in the toilet. Right now, the price of it is about, you got a quote of 75 on it. So for $750, you have a tiny chance of getting in 3 years $1,000 if the bond pays off and a coupon along the way. So some people would be willing to take that chance. $750 for a chance for the coupons until the bond finishes up and $1,000 on the maturity of the bond? Yeah, I'll do it. Because you have that you have that kind of money to blow. You ever bought a lottery ticket? You have. Did you win? Do you know what your chances are of winning? You will see donkeys fly before you'll win. You will not win. You know how I know that? Because you are a loser, like me. Okay, we are losers. We don't win. As a matter of fact, those people who win, they actually are actors. They just bring them on to pretend they won $1 million. They don't exist. Yes, they do. But the chances of that happening are so small. But this is the junk. This is the junk trade. You will play those markets. It's like penny stocks. It's like the pink sheets of the OTC. These are just places where you throw the money if you are that kind of an investor. It's just a play. And quite honestly, a couple of times, you have to research it really carefully. You got to say, okay, yeah, this company is barely alive. Its bonds, they've defaulted on a coupon. And they're saying that they'll be able to bring the revenues up. They'll be able to pay that coupon back before the receivers come in. It looks like it might play. Or it might go into bankruptcy, and it's got so many assets that I'll be made whole because this was a mortgage bond. Hey, I can even wait for it to go into the toilet and let the thing liquidate, and I'll be made whole because I'm a bond holder. So there's a couple of different scenarios where you would play it. But it's a good question. Why would you? There's a whole world of people out there who do that for a living, and it's kind of scary that there are people out there like that. Okay, you got questions for me. Go ahead. This is your chance. Go.
On MPV, do you add the salvage value to the...
Last, I give you the list of the cash flows, the positive cash flows. Always put the salvage value on the last cash flow. Just add it to that last one. So there's a salvage value of $2,000 at the end of year five. Just add that to the cash flow from year five. Always. Very, very normal to do that too. A lot of times there's not much value, but there is some salvage value, especially even in my business. When I analyze camera equipment, I'll look out, okay, it'll last me 4 years, this is what it'll generate, and then at the end of 4 years, I can sell it on eBay, or I can sell it to one of the big camera houses in New York City for, let's say, $400. That's a salvage value that I add to the last year that camera was producing positive cash flow for me. Yeah. By the way, one other thing that I might ask, in essays or in multiple choice, there is a problem that can occur with internal rate of return. What is it? I could also, one more just to throw at you, it could be in multiple choice and or in essays. What's the relationship between internal rate of return and net present value? And the way you would start that, I'm being really generous here. The internal rate of return is the discount rate that, and all you have to do is finish it. 5 points, that easy. I mean, you should call me the candy man. I'm handing out candy today. Now, here's the deal. Stay frosty on this exam. You'll do better on this one. The average score goes up by 10 points about on this exam versus the last one. It's brought back down because some people don't bother to take it. They say FTS and they go on and join a hippie commune. But other than that, your score will be better. A little bit of extra advice. If you're strong on the second exam and on the final, I'll give you a little bit of slack on the first exam, on which some of you seriously sucked, okay? So you get better, and you learn how to answer my questions. You know what kinds of questions I ask, and you get better on answering, especially the essay questions. I probably will see only one or two idiots trying to do two sentences or trying to make two sentences look like one. Short answers, don't get fancy. And I'll have more to say after that, but just like I said, stay frosty, get the job done. You got your 4x6 note card. If you're going to do calculations from that narrative, your answers should be on that note card. Yeah, go ahead.
What formula sheet do we need that?
What formula?
The financial analysis formula sheet that you gave us long.
Oh, that one for ratios?
Yeah,
I don't think you would need that one for this, but it would be for the final, yeah. What else? Any other questions? Okay. I'll be in my office from 1:30 till 3:30 on Wednesday. That's all I have for you today. I thank you.